Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Sports and Aging, a Prescription for Longevity. Edited and with an introduction by Gerald R. Gems. Narrated by David Lee Huynh and Cindy Kay. Introduction. Gerald R. Gems. During the overlapping 2017-18 sports seasons, commentators often questioned the intention of New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady to continue to play beyond his 40th birthday. Journalists marveled as he began the 2019 season at the age of 42, and a year later he led his new team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, to the Super Bowl. Others wondered how long basketball star LeBron James could continue to maintain his elite status and statistical production once he had reached the seemingly advanced age of 33. Still others questioned Serena Williams' decision to return to competitive tennis at the age of 36 after giving birth to a daughter. Such questioners neglect to consider a long history of aged athletes who continued to play at elite levels. Such concerns belie a long history of continued excellence by aging American athletes. Early in the 20th century, Bobby Marshall played end for three different professional football teams into his 45th year. Likewise, John Nesser, one of the six Nesser brothers who manned the Columbus Panhandles team, played as a lineman at 45. George Blanda not only played, but also starred as a quarterback and kicker for the Oakland Raiders at 48 in 1975. More recently, Doug Flutie still quarterbacked the New England Patriots at 43 in 2005, while Jerry Rice, the greatest pass receiver in National Football League, NFL history, continued to play at 42. Adam Vinatieri began his 24th season in the NFL as a 46-year-old place kicker in 2019. Darryl Green still played the position of cornerback, one that required great speed and agility in the NFL, at 42. He reportedly ran a 40-yard dash in 4.43 seconds on his 50th birthday. A host of Major League Baseball players have competed into their 40s. Alex Rodriguez, 41. David Ortiz, 41. Randy Johnson, 43. Ichiro Suzuki, 44. Bartolo Colon, 44. Roger Clemens, 45. Nolan Ryan, 46. Julio Franco, 49. Jamie Moyer, 49. Hoyt Wilhelm, 49. And the seemingly ageless Satchel Paige began his major league career at 42. Made the All-Star team at 47, and pitched his last game at 59. Manny Mignoso played professional baseball across 7 decades, getting his last hit in his 50s. He drew a walk in a minor league game at the age of 77. Similarly, the great Michael Jordan continued to play in the National Basketball Association at age 40, and many others competed well beyond that. For instance, Bob Cousy, John Stockton, Karl Malone, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Robert Parrish, Dikembe Mutombo, Tim Duncan, Grant Hill, Steve Nash, Jason Kidd, and Vince Carter, who played until 2020 at age 43. In the National Hockey League, Chris Chelios was still on the ice at the age of 48, and Jaromir Jagr lasted until age 45. Mr. Hockey, Gordie Howe, played into his 52nd year alongside his sons. He came out of retirement to play in a minor league game at the age of 69. Such longevity is noticeable across sport forms. Karch Kurai played pro volleyball at 46. Willie Shoemaker rode thoroughbreds for more than 40 years, finally retiring at 54. George Foreman won a heavyweight championship at the age of 45. Roberto Duran battled in the boxing ring across 5 decades until the age of 50, and even he was surpassed by Sol Mombi, who fought at 60. Gary Player still played in the Masters Golf Tournament and the British Open at 73. ESPN The Magazine featured him in its body issue in 2013, when he was 77. The 2018 edition displayed a nude Greg Norman golfing at 63. Men have no monopoly on athletic excellence or longevity. Eleonora Sears excelled at 19 different sports, winning national championships and captaining an international squash team into her 50s. Martina Navratilova won the 2006 U.S. Open Mixed Doubles Tennis Championship at age 49. Nancy Lieberman played in the Women's National Basketball Association at age 50, and Diana Nyad swam from Cuba to Florida at the age of 64. Dara Torres swam on 5 Olympic teams, her last in 2008 as a 41-year-old, winning a total of 12 medals. One might argue, rightfully so, that these are not average human beings. All are exceptionally gifted in their physical abilities. Physiologists and medical doctors continue to document the decline of one's physicality as we grow older. The loss of speed, strength, power, and VO2 max, a measure of aerobic capacity, however, is relative. While such capabilities begin to decline about the age of 25 or 30, the rate of decline is much slower in active people. With the advent of the Masters Games in 1985, athletes beyond the age of 40 continued to compete against their peers in 5-year age cohorts, that is, 40 to 45, 45 to 50, and so on, and even as centenarians. Such amateur athletes have recorded some amazing feats of their own. Canadian Betty B.J. McHugh, a skier, tennis player, and mother of 4, worked as a nurse and cared for her husband, who suffered from dementia. She took up running at age 50 and cross-trained as a cyclist, with weight training and yoga. At age 85, she finished a marathon with a time of 5 hours, 12 minutes, and 3 seconds. Another Canadian, Olga Kotelko, set 26 world records in her 90 to 95 age group. At 5 feet 1 half inch and 130 pounds, she hardly figured to be an athletic wonder, but she competed in as many as 11 events. At the 2010 World Masters Indoor Championships, she ran the 60-meter dash against the men and finished a respectable third. A 92-year-old Italian, Ugo Sansonetti, set the world record of 11.57 seconds in the 60-meter dash. Kotelko became one of the most studied elderly athletes in the world, subjecting herself to physiological, psychological, and cognitive examinations at various universities. Like Betty McHugh, she proved to be extremely resilient. A schoolteacher, she gave up smoking and her abusive marriage of 10 years, which left her with 2 daughters, one of whom died of cancer in 1999. Kotelko began playing softball at 70 and took up track at 77, while painting, gardening, and training in her spare time. Australian Ruth Frith, born in 1909, initiated her track and field endeavors in her 70s. In addition to competing in the long jump and triple jump, she specialized in the weight throws, earning gold medals in the hammer throw, shot put, and javelin. After the World Masters Games in Sydney in 2009, she set 6 world records, amassing 9 over her career. The male competitors in the World Masters Games are equally impressive. In addition to the sprinter Sansonetti, Ed Whitlock ran 3 marathons in less than 3 hours each after the age of 70, clocking a 2-hour, 54-minute, 48-second time at age 73. He ran 2 hours, 59 minutes, 12 seconds at 72 in a pair of 15-year-old running shoes. Whitlock also held world age group records for 5,000 meters and the half marathon. In 2018, a 70-year-old Gene Dyke surpassed Whitlock's marathon time with 2 hours, 54 minutes, 23 seconds. He did so after running a 50-kilometer trail race and another marathon only 2 weeks before. Dykes did not take up competitive running until the age of 58. That same year, 86-year-old Hiromu Inada completed the Ironman triathlon in Hawaii, which consists of a 3.86-kilometer swim, followed by a 180.25-kilometer bike ride, and then a full marathon. Inada trains assiduously, sticking to a strict diet of balanced proteins and carbohydrates and soup for breakfast. He considers these to be the best years of his life and serves as an inspiration for more youthful athletes. Like Ruth Frith, Faujas Singh continued to compete as a centenarian. like Olga Kolteka, he had to overcome personal loss and tragedy, as his son was killed in an auto incident in 1999. He ran his first marathon at 89. It took him 6 hours and 41 minutes to finish, but he reduced that time to 4 hours 59 minutes by age 94. Stanislaus Kowalski still competed in the 100 meters, shot put, and discus at the age of 105. Julia Hurricane Hawkins, a former schoolteacher, started as a cyclist at age 75 before turning to running at 100. She captured gold medals in the 50 and 100 meter races at the 2019 National Senior Games at the age of 103. She set a world record in the 60 meter race in 2018. Philippa Raschke began competing in multiple events at age 33 in 1980 and continues her phenomenal career. At age 65, she held more than 200 world and national age group records in a variety of events, including the pole vault. In 2007, she was named the Masters Female Athlete of the Year and was even a finalist for the Sullivan Award, presented to the greatest amateur athlete. Pam Reed won the Badwater Ultramarathon, a distance of 135 miles, at age 42, beating all male competitors in the process. Anne Trassen also defeated all male runners to win the 1998 Western States Endurance Run of 100 miles over the Sierra Nevada Mountains. She continued to compete in that race, and at age 41, she bettered the time she had achieved as a 29-year-old. At age 58 in 2018, she still ran more than 20 long-distance races. Lee Bergquist, in his study of aging athletes, noted, "Speed and quickness are attributes of youth, but endurance sports favor older athletes." Ray Scherenbrock, a retired teacher, has run 506 marathons by the age of 72. Don McNally, a retired business executive, ran his first marathon at age 48 and had completed 680 marathons by age 85. Jim Reeve, at age 48, finished 63 marathons in 1 year. Ed Barreto even surpassed that mark with 84 marathons over 52 weeks. Others, known as streakers, log miles daily in consecutive fashion, some for more than 40 years straight. For them, running is a compulsive behavior that they refer to as a positive addiction. Bergquist claims, "Looking and feeling healthy are important parts of many older athletes' self-image." Emmanuelle Toll, in her study of aging runners, found that the activity served as a means of resisting the aging process. Obsessions, however, are not healthy, and some marriages have resulted in divorce due to misplaced priorities. Runners are not the only healthy and engaged elders. Walking was once considered a sport, one that most people can perform at any age. Edward Payson Weston, the great pedestrian, walked 4,000 miles, 6,437 kilometers, from California to New York in 77 days at the age of 71 in 1910. 3 years later, in his 74th year, he covered 1,546 miles, 2,488 kilometers, from New York to Minneapolis in 1913. ESPN, the American sports media conglomerate, produced a documentary in 2018 on Mark Sertich, a 96-year-old ice hockey player who still competes with much younger men throughout the season. Sertich is not an exception, as several senior hockey leagues and national tournaments offer competition for older players by age groups for people in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and older. One New York team has both men and women ranging in age from 59 to 95, including a female goalie and a player with prosthetic arms. Players tease their oldest member, 95-year-old Marsh Webster, that his social security card is numbered 1. The camaraderie of the group is a particular strength of the diverse members. The San Diego Women's Basketball Association sponsors a league for women 50 years of age and older. One of its teams, known as the Splash Sisters, is composed of members over 80, with some encroaching on centenarian status. The women play 30-minute games, 3-on-3, on a half court, but competition remains spirited. Another spirited woman, African-American Willie Murphy, is a competitive powerlifter at the age of 82. She took up the sport only a decade earlier. Although she weighs only 105 pounds, she holds New York State and national records. In her spare time, she volunteers to exercise with others at a local health clinic. Such athletes are perhaps more remarkable for their longevity than for their physical performances, and idolization can also be a form of ageism. The Masters athletes present a heroic model of aging, in which they fight against and defeat the process of aging, while conversely, giving in to aging is regarded as a failure. Top scholars of sport and aging state that we must stop demonizing sedentary behavior in policy and the media, cease blaming inactivity for disease and increased health costs, and begin by valuing and enabling all forms of leisure and lifestyles across the lifespan. Nevertheless, active adults have shown that aging need not fit the stereotype of poor health, fragility, debility, dependency, and disengagement that can result in becoming a ward of the state and a burden on the healthcare system. Such a perception has been labeled the deficit model of aging. A recent Danish study that characterized the elderly as unproductive consumers whose illnesses were a drain on the national healthcare resources cited the need for activity centers. Most elderly persons are not invalids and should not be characterized as such. Historian Lawrence Samuel has asserted that the very concept of aging remains a social taboo, eliciting fear and dread despite all the research showing that getting older is usually an enjoyable part of life. This is especially true for those who have attained a middle-class status and the inherent privileges of whiteness in Western societies. The global COVID-19 pandemic that exploded in 2019 more clearly exposed the deadly ramifications for the poor and people of color. In Asian societies, elderly citizens enjoy greater respect for their wisdom and contributions to the society. Successful aging has become a contested concept in the United States. Such an optimistic characterization ignores not only differences in gender, ethnicity, social class, and age, but also the systemic inequities that promote social inequalities, income disparities, and consequent health disparities. While there is no consensus on the definition of successful aging, some studies have shown positive results among masters athletes. David Gerd and colleagues defined successful aging as late life change via physical, psychological, cognitive, and social functioning, and determined that masters swimmers fit that characterization. Hirofumi Tanaka drew similar conclusions in a study of aging competitive athletes. One need not be athletic to enjoy a long, healthy, and happy life. Sport generally connotes competition, but in this study, sport is used generically to include any form of physical exertion, including dance, exercise to meet a level of fitness, and competitive games. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in the United States advocate 30 minutes of aerobic exercise 5 days per week with supplemental strength activities. Inactivity is the cause of 9% of premature deaths and contributes to cardiorespiratory disease, type 2 diabetes, musculoskeletal disorders, sleep problems, and increases in the risks of cancer and obesity. Diet is also an important part of aging well. For nearly 2 decades, researchers have been studying and analyzing 5 areas of the world known as blue zones, where an inordinate number of people live beyond 100 years. On the Greek island of Ikaria, there is little dementia. Okinawa, the southernmost island in Japan, is the residence of the world's oldest women. In the mountains of Sardinia, an Italian island in the Mediterranean Sea, live the most centenarian men. In Loma Linda, California, a community consisting largely of Seventh-day Adventists, people live on average 10 years longer than other Americans. Men living in the Nicoya Peninsula of Costa Rica have the second highest number of centenarians in the world. Despite their differences in geography and culture, the inhabitants of such areas have some common characteristics and lifestyles. Their diets are largely vegetarian, with a lot of fruits and nuts, and the Mediterranean diet includes substantial amounts of olive oil. Beans are an important and virtually daily component of meals. Water, coffee, tea, and red wine serve as daily liquids. All inhabitants of these areas remain physically active throughout their lives through working, walking, or exercise. Their relatively stress-free lives often include a strong social support network of family, friends, or a religious community. Despite their age, they are still valued members of the society and maintain a purpose in their lives. Conversely, Americans continue to follow a diet prone to obesity, heart disease, and cancer that lowers the average lifespan. Today, the average American adult consumes 79 pounds of fat and 8,000 teaspoons of added sugar annually, and we wash it all down with 57 gallons of soda a year. A recent U.S. government study showed that a third of American adults, both men and women, eat fast food daily, and the wealthier classes eat more fast food than lower-income groups do. Americans are not the only ones who neglect their health. Modern life in industrialized countries tends to produce sedentary lifestyles that result in major health issues such as obesity and heart conditions that can result in debility or death. Numerous studies have indicated the value of physical activity relative to aging. Sufficient physical activity in the form of sport or less competitive leisure pursuits can improve muscle mass and function, and can lower the chances of cancer, diabetes, and cardiovascular and heart diseases. Other studies indicate a positive change in appearance, self-concept, and psychological well-being due to such activity. Some studies show the benefit of physical activity for individuals with dementia, while others indicate that even informal team games promote greater sociability for aging populations. Aging has long been perceived as a negative culmination of life, and exercise considered a chore or a work-like and exhaustive means to health and fitness. That need not and should not be the case, as more recent perceptions of aging frame it as a period of renewal, discovery, and fulfillment. And physical activity can be a source of joy, pleasure, happiness, sensuality, amusement, mirth, tranquility, and fun as one ages. Studies of aging and the role of physical activity in that process have assumed greater importance as older populations increase around the world. Many studies have focused on privileged elderly white men from Western capitalistic nations as subjects and beneficiaries of such research. Scholars and policymakers have called for more research on women, ethnic and racial minorities, varied social classes and religious groups, people of diverse gender identities, and international studies to provide a more heterogeneous and cross-cultural perspective. This book contributes to that quest for new knowledge as it presents the lives of individuals from across the globe who have aged well. Successful aging has been defined as good health, life satisfaction, independence, a sense of purpose, and the support of family and friends. The book covers various regions of the world, a variety of cultures and religious groups, and people with diverse gender identities, as well as married, divorced, single, and widowed persons across different social classes, with the intent to determine whether there are any common characteristics or strategies for aging well despite the diversity of the sample. While the concept of aging and what constitutes elderly people may differ across cultures, all participants are beyond 50 years of age, ranging from 51 to 96. Contributors are drawn from all continents other than Antarctica. Contrary to previous studies, there are more women than men. In that sense, it is a diverse and international sample that provides a greater female voice and multiple perspectives on the aging process. Despite the attempt to be inclusive, this is not a scientific sample. Participants were chosen due to their recognized ability to age successfully. While an attempt was made to engage all major religious groups, as well as non-religious persons, all races, and a variety of ethnicities and varied socioeconomic classes, it failed to produce any Jewish contributors or African-American female participants. Therefore, any conclusions must be considered tentative at this point. Nevertheless, the study points to promising questions for future study. For purposes of the study, the World Health Organization's definition of elderly as older than 50 is used as a benchmark. Methodological procedures are derived from the Chicago School of Sociology, including ethnography, surveys, oral histories, biographical narratives, interpretation, and analysis with the intent to minimize Western and Eurocentric biases prevalent in previous works. Autoethnography is a qualitative research process employed across numerous academic disciplines to promote self-reflection for producing a narrative that connects to wider cultural and social meanings and thus increases understanding. It is a means for individuals to make sense of their own lives. One disadvantage of the autoethnographic approach is that the researcher might misrepresent the subjects in his or her characterization. This study provided a survey to participants in which each told his or her own story relative to a series of questions to avoid that possibility. Participants were encouraged to use autoethnographic approaches that began to appear late in the 20th century to tell their own stories of successful aging. Given the international nature of the contributors, this book might serve as an ethnographic social history, a way to discern how individuals developed within their own societies and diverse cultures over time. Such stories have proven to be evocative, emotional, engaging, and meaningful for the storytellers as well as the readers, who may find a personal and emotional attraction. Some stories may inspire personal life changes that ultimately result in social change. Autoethnography in the form of narrative gerontology is now recognized as a discipline in itself. Such personal histories also provide healing value for some struggling with disability or the aging process. As Arthur Frank, author of The Wounded Storyteller, has stated, "People need a guidebook for life with physical impairments." A similar guidebook is helpful for aging and unprepared adults facing or coping with lives in retirement, some of whom have a fear of diminished lives. Positive stories of successful aging also counteract common narratives of aging as a period of decline. They describe how cultures, subcultures, or family patterns are reflected in the life of the storyteller, and how certain people adapt to or expand the possibilities and limits set by the historical time period in which they live. For many, successful aging means a change in one's identity that is a dynamic and unfinished process negotiated over time. Reminiscence can be of therapeutic value as people examine their past and future attitudes, values, and practices, and thus make coherent sense of their lives. Such investigation of one's identity is negotiated over time, as borne out by the reflections of the participants who have been drawn from generations that experienced different chronological, cultural, and social changes over the course of their lives. Yet all have persevered to overcome obstacles and setbacks to live successful and rewarding lives. Chapter 1. A History of Aging, Gerald R. Gems. In prehistoric times, there was no concept of aging. Scientists estimate that 30,000 years ago, one-third of those born did not survive childhood, while those who did rarely lived past the age of 50. Yet old age was not unknown among the ancient Greeks, who even required military service to age 60. We know that the philosopher Socrates, forced to drink poisonous hemlock, died at 70. His pupil, Plato, lived to be 80, and the playwright Sophocles died at 90. The Greeks, however, provided mixed messages relative to aging. The historian Herodotus, writing late in the 5th century BCE, associated longevity with diet, while Plato, a 4th century BCE philosopher, perceived old age as a period of disengagement from affairs, deprived of women, drinking, and fun, a time for greater spirituality. Greeks also believed that wisdom was truly gained after the age of 50, and in democratic assemblies, citizens beyond that age were allowed to speak first, while more youthful persons waited while their elders disseminated knowledge. Plato's pupil, Aristotle, noted that illnesses are the companion of old age. Galen, a 2nd century CE physician and philosopher, told the story of another philosopher who maintained that the aging process might be tamed by a judicious diet. He reached the age of 80, but was mocked by youth who despised his pointed nose, twisted ears, and sunken eyes. The Greeks saw old age as ugly when compared with their idealized concept of beauty displayed in youthful bodies. Historical sources indicate a long concern with the process of aging. Even the ancient Egyptians recorded cures for wrinkled skin and the necessity of caring for elderly fathers. The Chinese prescribed a balance between the yin and the yang, a regimen of exercise and healthy diet.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?